Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my beloved wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, and shalom to you, my dear, and peace to all our listeners as we pray you will be blessed by today's Bible study on the prophet Nahum. First, let us bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify. Thank you for the water of your word that keeps us clean and provides protective strength, courage, stamina, power, and victory over our enemy. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and the backsliders that they might encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. We also lift up to you the many tornado and flood victims, especially those called by your name, and to our recent prayer requests for miraculous healings, and as always, may this study glorify you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, since we bypassed the news last week, how about a catch-up on what's important?
Okay. Well, our monthly newsletter went out for May last week with a lot of news directly pointing to end-time prophecy. If you have not signed up for them, you can do so on the front of our webpage, shofarministries.net.
And we also still print a paper edition. If you prefer, just send us a note to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
Okay, so let's share a few things that are relevant.
Yes, like the rise of the occult.
Oh, yeah, still another sign of the days we are in.
The haunted dolls?
Yeah, talk about evil rising. Yeah. People are actually ordering these occult dolls on Etsy or eBay. And they're high in demand, believe it. And depending on how much you are willing to pay, you will get them labeled as either active or highly active.
More details are in the newsletter.
And that popular PBS cartoon called Arthur conducted a homosexual marriage on air.
Knowing the viewers are very young children.
Yes. Shame on PBS.
Oh, absolutely.
But why shouldn't they? For now, even the Pope has stated that there's nothing wrong with sodomy because that is the way God made them. This is total blasphemy, and it's just not true. Read Romans 1.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, let's hope parents will complain to PBS.
And boycott it for sure.
Absolutely. Well, our president just returned from Japan to a not surprising continued bashing from the far left. But it appears that Attorney General Barr is on a mission to expose the genesis of all this.
And it looks like some VIP heads will roll.
Mm-hmm. And President Trump is sending 1,500 more troops to Iraq as another deterrent to Iran's aggression.
You also addressed in the newsletters why you didn't believe it will go that far into a major world war.
Right. At least not yet, because Iran, known as Persia, are a major player in the tribulation, and we would do so much significant damage to them, it would take them years to recover.
But they are getting very mad right now with all those sanctions.
Yeah. And after the Bride of Christ leaves, they will massively attack the United States to remove Israel's stronghold. And then with us out of the way,
as stated in Jeremiah 30, verse 11.
Yes, and along with the other nations listed in Ezekiel 38, they will attack Israel. But God comes to their rescue. And actually, that's the catalyst for Israel to recognize their Messiah. And then, according to Revelation 12 and Matthew 24, God protects them down south as they flee immediately after they witness the abomination of the Antichrist in the temple.
So, what's the latest with President Trump's peace treaty?
Oh, yeah. Well, delayed once again. Mm-hmm. First, it was to be revealed after Israel's elections, then after Ramadan, and then after Israel's Feast of Pentecost, which is on June 9th, and we, by the way, will look at that next week. But I said it wouldn't surprise me if we would hear that, well, they're probably going to wait again, maybe till around the G20 meeting, which is on June 28th and 29th. So, no surprise. Now what they are calling a workshop is scheduled just prior to the G20 gathering on June 25th, maybe the 26th as well. And that should be in Bahrain with many VIPs to focus on the economic section of this treaty.
So there are two sections.
Yes, economic and political.
So it still won't be totally revealed till after that.
Well, yeah. And now, unless Netanyahu forms his new government, which, by the way, looks very troubling, and of course due to his far left, it could be delayed again if Israel has to once again have another election. But let us not forget, and I've been saying this for a while now, that we are looking at perhaps a different covenant coming together in the background. This one is spiritual between all the faiths that the Pope is speedily working on right now.
Which, you know, could fulfill Daniel 9:27.
For sure. Because the Daniel passage does not even use the word peace, but rather only the word covenant. In Hebrew, that's barith. So pay attention to that.
Okay, again, more details are in the newsletter, which will soon be archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net, along with all of our radio programs. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please know how much we need and truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage.
Okay, well, time for the best part.
The Word.
And we are moving right along through the Minor Prophets, and today is about Nahum.
Whose name means true comfort.
Yes, comfort to Jerusalem as he prophesies about a coming destruction to their enemy. Nahum chapter 1 is speaking of judgment, and it's actually announced. Chapter 2, judgment is executed. And chapter 3 talks about the judgment's reasons for doing it.
Yeah, the kingdom of the 10 tribes up north was at Nahum's time already in Assyrian captivity.
Yes, since 721 B.C. So Nahum preached and prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah, I'd say approximately between a 50-year span of, say, 663 to 612 B.C., when Nahum's prophecy was fulfilled. Now, if you recall, about 100 years earlier, approximately 800 B.C., Nineveh had once repented at the time of Jonah that we studied last month.
Nahum is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture.
Well, not by name, but perhaps by the frequent term of seer, especially in Chronicles. And it looks like Paul quoted from Nahum's writing in Romans 10:15, but could you first read verse 15 of Nahum chapter 1?
Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace.
And also now read Romans 10:15.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Notice Paul begins with, as it is written.
Well, I think Paul knew the Tanakh with its prophetic teachings.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, judgment is proclaimed right off the bat in verse 1, where he writes the oracle against Nineveh of the vision of Nahum of their destruction. God spared them once before, but obviously their offspring were not informed or just chose to ignore that part of history.
So Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire.
Yes, and her founder was actually Nimrod, who lived shortly after the flood, Genesis 10. Obviously, there was rivalry between Assyria and its later conqueror, Babylon, from the very beginning. Babylon is the picture of like a worldly might in a religious pagan garment, where Assyria pictures more the haughty, cruel, and high-handed secular world.
And full of pride.
Mm-hmm. Assyria under King Sennacherib did attack southern Judah later as well in 701 BC, and that would be about 20 years after taking the northern kingdom in 721 BC.
I think Hezekiah was the king then, wasn't he?
Yes, but that didn't work out so well for Assyria, that trying to attack Judah. And that began their slow decline.
So by 612 BC, after Nahum's prophecy, Nineveh was conquered.
Right. Destroyed by the Babylonians with the help of the Medes under King Nabopolassar, who was the father of the famous Nebuchadnezzar.
So the Medes and Babylon were allies at that time.
Yes, but many years later, the Medes with the Persians,
today's Iran,
yes, would conquer Babylon in 539 BC. King Cyrus then allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild its city and their temple. By the way, Nineveh's ruins have been excavated in the 1800s, uncovering their huge library containing, oh, I'd say approximately 20,000 clay plates.
Yeah, you know, we learned a lot from that.
And confirmed once again the truths of the Old Testament.
As God always planned for them to find someday.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, in perspective, we see how God used Assyria's King Sennacherib as the rod of his anger to discipline northern Israel. But finally, Assyria had to be punished itself for its haughtiness and its malice towards Jerusalem.
Also prophesied in Zephaniah 2:13.
Mm-hmm. But there are many references about Assyria being in the millennial kingdom, as in Isaiah 19. And Egypt will be too. In fact, there will be a highway from Assyria down to Egypt in the new coming kingdom.
Yeah, well, today there are about 3 million Christians who say they have some, although mixed, Assyrian ancestry.
That's right. One more thing we should mention. Some are saying the Antichrist will be an Assyrian Muslim due to our English translations that use the term the Assyrian. But the original never uses the article the, but only says Assyria. So check that out.
You know, also, if that were the case, the Bible would be contradicting itself.
Yes, because Daniel 9, 26 and 27 says this prince will call the Antichrist, we call the Antichrist, will come from the same people who destroyed the temple, which was fulfilled in 70 AD, and that was Rome. So we must abide with scripture that the Antichrist will be connected to Rome. So, moving right along, the first chapter of Nahum describes God's basic blueprints of his plans, showing his goodness, but also his wrath.
God's anger might be slow, but assured vengeance does come on his adversaries.
Always. God, through Nahum, says he will demolish their idols and dig their grave. Then, chapter 1 closes with the famous scripture, as we already read in verse 15, praising those who bring good news and proclaims peace to the downtrodden.
And an amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Then chapter 2 and 3 provides even more details in that God is about to really get into Assyria's face.
Nahum, goading them to get ready for war.
Yes, he is. Particularly its capital, Nineveh, who willfully and steadily, without any heart, declined into deep wickedness and bullish ways to Judah. Not that they were stellarly righteous. They had their issues. Anyhow, the prideful Assyrians did have enormous amounts of wealth and weaponry, anything and everything they needed, and they actually lived to fight. So we're always ready for war. So actually, Nahum's warning coming years earlier, well, it was kind of pointless to them.
Yeah, but you know, God always warns first.
That's what he has to do. Just like the world is being warned right now. Anyhow, it was a 10-week siege in 612 BC where Assyria's judgment was inescapable. We see verses 3 through 8 gives glimpses of the fighting and the tactics used.
And we read how the Assyrians seem to be tripping over each other.
I know. A somewhat chaotic description as Assyria's high walls are breached and their floodgates from the Tigris River are opened, crumbling their palace, making Nineveh a pool of water. Then verses 9 through 10 describe the Assyrian people's dismay as they flee the scene. Verses 11 and 12 shows Nahum even heckles them and asks, "Where are your lions now?" Which just happened to be their grand symbol.
But Babylon took up the lion as their own symbol after their victory.
Yes, they did. And Daniel 7 confirms that. And verse 13 closes chapter 2 with the statement that their voices will be heard no more. Now, chapter 3. Nahum describes the reasons for their judgment beginning in verse 1 of Assyria's lies and their many robberies.
And verse 2 and 3 gives us a picture of their coming and total devastation.
And then verse 4 goes right back to yet another reason.
For their harlotries and sorceries.
We know from historical writings that there was indeed violence, stealing, immorality, idol worship, especially to the false god Asher. There were drugs and the occult. All of this was part of everyday life.
Gee, do we have that all today?
Yeah, unfortunately. We've got the violence, the stealing, the immorality, lots of drugs, and the occult big time. And it's all a part of everyday life.
Also, we have idol worship to false gods as in Allah.
Oh, that's so right. Do you know how many people are calling our great Abba Father by the name of Allah? That's truly an abomination, because they aren't even related.
And we can't say it enough. We are being warned as well by all the many signs just listed in Matthew 24 alone.
I know. Large earthquakes are increasing. Every year there are more than the year before, with high magnitudes. And although smaller ones, California has had at least 80 just in a 24-hour period recently.
Anyhow, back to Nahum.
Yes. Continuing in verse 5 and onward, Nahum, who is speaking for God, insults and literally shames the people of Assyria, calling them vile and will reveal their nakedness.
In other words, humble them greatly.
Yes. And in verse 13, he even calls their troops women.
That wouldn't go over very well today, would it?
You think? The point was to remove their honor, which was extremely important to the Assyrians, and instead pile on shame, which was horrific to this empire. Nahum closes his writings by warning them yet again, but I find it interesting. He does not tell them to repent. Obviously, it was already too late for that. God knew their hearts. So instead told to prepare. But they do not heed. In fact, verse 18 says their shepherds or leaders sleep and are scattered on the mountains. And when it's over, the people, especially in Judah, that they have harmed will now clap over their enemy's demise. Nineveh's total collapse is one of the wonders of ancient history. Not only was it defeated, it was obliterated and deserted for at least 300 years. Some, much later, even thought it was a myth, until our God revealed the truth of his word by the hands of archaeologists. Praise the Lord. Let me also add that although elated at Nineveh's coming destruction, Nahum was a righteous man, and I can say confidently that he had to have cautioned Judah to not be too giddy or even take this prophecy too lightly. Rather, as we always do and should, we should mourn for all the lost souls. Stay righteous yourself, Nahum told Judah in chapter 1. He said, keep your appointed feasts and hold true to your vows, because the alternative, if you don't, can have dire consequences. So learn from this and stay humble. Because humility, for all of us, is a major fruit of our salvation. and you can bank on that. Which, by the way, your bank account will be opened at the Beam of Judgment in heaven. And I think that could be right around the corner. One more thing. You might also like to know that Nahum preached mostly during the reign of King Manasseh, one of the most evil kings in Judah's long history. A very mean man who actually used a saw and cut Isaiah in two. So Manasseh needed the pain of his own experience of affliction from Assyria. And he did get it. But it did teach him the lessons of being a good king. Manasseh did repent late in his reign, about 6 years before his death, around 648 BC. And that's a good thing. And that means Nahum preached during a dark period in Judah's history, who were also dealing with idolatry, according to 2 Chronicles. Decades before Assyrians' destruction. So God was really merciful to Judah for a long time. Until, of course, he let Babylon finally take them to Babylon. But the Lord's willingness to send Nahum, whose name means comfort, into such a hopeless situation evidences God's unrelenting and overwhelming and amazing grace, which still applies today. He is God, and he changes not. Malachi 3:6. There is enough grace for you as well. And so the major question is, does God have your heart? Does he really have your heart? How well do you know him? How well do you really know him? And is he personal to you? Really personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your only Savior. There's no other way. And he really and totally paid off your debt for your sins, because someone's got to pay for them, unless you'd rather pay for it yourself. I don't think so. But it's always your choice. No getting around that. As soon as this program is over, after we give the Aaronic blessing, I suggest, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, he's not truly in your heart, get on your knees. Invite him in right now. Don't wait another moment. He really is coming soon. Look at all the things that are happening. Oh my gosh, we in Ohio never even get a tornado, and yet we got one just last night through Toledo. And it was devastating. I mean, the signs of Matthew 24 and Luke are coming to pass. Strange weather patterns. So please don't take any more time away from what you could do with the Lord. So I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and that of course comes from Numbers 6, 22 and 27, and I really highly recommend that you memorize that, because it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It says, "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Notice that it's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It's three times in that verse because of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will bless you. So, till next time, Sha'alu, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her, Jerusalem. Well, you're going to prosper. Oh, not just monetarily, I mean in all the other ways. Because he's a good God, and he holds true to his word in what he says. So memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. Next week, we'll be talking about Pentecost, and then the week after that, we'll get back into the Minor Prophets. So be sure to join us. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.